when the parable of the Good Shepherd here in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, Christ shows you and I the importance of listening to the voice of the shepherd. He shows us the qualities and the characters that must mark his sheep. And he also shows us the dangers of listening to the voices of those strangers. Well, thus far in our study of the parables of Jesus, we have stayed in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there is one parable in the Gospel of John, here in John chapter 10. Here we have what John calls, in verse 6, a figure of speech from Christ. The word that's translated figure of speech in the ESV is paroimia. It's essentially a synonym of parabole, that word used for parable in the Synoptic Gospels. And both of those words, this paroimia and parabole, are used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to translate the word mashal, which is the typical Hebrew word for parable or for moral lesson or allegory. So this is, while it's not called a parabole, it's a paroimia. It is a figure of speech. It is a parable of Christ that John relates to us here. And this parable of the Good Shepherd, like all parables of Christ, is intimately tied to its context. Both before and after Christ gives this parable, there are extended sections of teachings that are related to and help to explain it. And so in the previous chapter, in John chapter 9, we see Jesus healing the man born blind. Christ gave sight to the man who was begging on the street to show both his disciples and the Jewish leaders who were following him the works of God, as he says in verse 3 of chapter 9. After this man is healed, then he goes through the town rejoicing in what Christ has done for him. And the people are amazed. Is this really the same guy who used to beg from us? Could it be? They couldn't believe what had happened, and neither could the Jewish leaders, who interrogated the man and his parents to prove that he had actually once been blind. The leaders, these Jewish leaders, were trying to get the man to say that Jesus was a sinner, that he was a charlatan. But the man only told them what he knew. He says, "Though I was blind, now I see." The Jewish leaders hated the answers that he gave, and so they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus hears that they have treated this man poorly, he returns to him, he finds him, and he tells him, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Well, after they hear this, the Pharisees question Jesus and say and ask, "Are we also blind?" We see that in verse 40, chapter 9. In verse 41, we see Jesus answer. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." In fact, Christ goes on to then say, "This is how guilty you are. Your guilt remains, and this is how guilty you are. You are robbers and thieves. You are false shepherds trying to lead my sheep away from their sheepfold and the protection of their true shepherd." So he gives this parable to help show them how far off from the truth they are. New Testament scholar D.A. Carson writes in his commentary that Christ's audience for this parable is, quote, "the leaders of chapter 9, who should have had ears to hear Jesus' claims and recognize him as the revelation from God, but who instead belittle and expel the sheep." The scribes and Pharisees that Jesus is talking to have shown in their rejection of Christ that they are blind to the things of God. They do not have eyes to see the Messiah standing right in front of them. And then, to these same Jewish leaders and his own disciples, Christ tells the parable of the Good Shepherd, which proves that not only are they too blind to see the Messiah, they're too deaf to hear the voice of the true Shepherd of Israel. Throughout the parable, Christ contrasts the Good Shepherd with those false shepherds. The Good Shepherd's own sheep follow his voice, but those same sheep flee from the voice of strangers, like the Pharisees, who have thrown out the man born blind from their synagogue. They are also, these Pharisees, are also thieves, robbers, strangers, who only seek to steal and kill and destroy. So let's now look at our parable of the Good Shepherd. Some of you will remember in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, Christ tells parables to those who have ears, eyes to see and ears to hear the things of God. Well, this parable fits the mold of the other parables in the Synoptic Gospels because the aim of Christ in telling it remains the same as in those other parables. Christ is trying to distinguish between his sheep and the thieves, robbers, and strangers who are trying to infiltrate the sheepfold. His own sheep, he says, are called by name. They know the voice of the one who calls. They will not follow the strangers, but will only follow the voice of the true shepherd, fleeing at the sound of the stranger's voice. So Jesus begins the parable of the Good Shepherd by describing the nature of those false teachers who have led God's people astray. They are thieves and robbers, whose only intention, he says in verse 10, after this parable, is to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. These false teachers have not come into the sheepfold through the door, through the proper entrance, but they have found another way. They've climbed over the fence and have not gained legitimate entry into the sheepfold. It's clear to everyone, even to those strangers themselves, that they do not belong in the sheepfold. They don't even attempt to use the door. He says he climbs in by another way. They've climbed the fence because they know they won't be able to get in any other way. They know that the gatekeeper will not allow them through the door, and so they find a way to get in. Well, if you were at home and you saw someone climbing into your neighbor's window, I would hope you would be a little suspicious. That isn't how people normally get into their houses, through the window. And so you would know simply based on their behavior that they don't belong and that you should probably call the police. This thief and robber does not belong in this sheepfold. And even he knows it because he doesn't try to get in through the door. Unfortunately, Christ points us to a reality that there are always going to be false shepherds amongst God's people. They were there in Israel, and they're even here today in the church. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 34, verse 4, the Lord chastises false shepherds. They are those of whom he says, "The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." The reality is that false teachers will come among the sheep. These strangers have gained entry into the sheepfold. They are here, and they are causing trouble. We know that this side of heaven, we won't have a pure church of only regenerate believers, but false teachers and liars will be among us here. We have to be discerning to discover their lies. But how do we do that? How do we discern truth from lies? Well, Christ tells us in this parable. While the strangers are seeking to hop over the fence, these false teachers are getting in from an illegitimate way, Christ says that there is a shepherd who enters by the door and is given entry by the gatekeeper. He belongs there. And so he is able to go into the sheepfold in the proper way. He has permission to be there because the sheep belong to him. He has authority over them. And when the shepherd is with the sheep, he calls each one by name. As he says in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Well, there are shepherds in the Middle East who have specific calls for each one of their sheep. What Christ is saying here is a legitimate practice of some shepherds. And those shepherds would have every sheep singled out with an individual call. And when the shepherd calls them, they go to him. Well, here Christ is saying that the good shepherd calls each one of his sheep by name. He knows every one of them and calls them to himself. These sheep belong to the shepherd, and he loves and cares for them. This is a wonderfully comforting reality. The Lord cares for his own. And God has a special love for those for whom Christ shed his blood on the cross. He is their heavenly Father, and he cares for them as his own children. The Lord is our good shepherd who knows, loves, and cares for his redeemed people. He calls them by name. What a wonderfully comforting and reassuring balm to our souls. Christian, you who are in Christ, the Lord Jesus cares for you. He loves you. He knows you. You are his, and he is yours. In verse 3, we see that our shepherd, Christ, knows his sheep because he calls his own by name and he leads them out. But that knowledge isn't just a one-way street. Christ knows his sheep, but in order to understand his call and follow his voice, the sheep must intimately know Christ as well. That's what we see in verse 4. When this shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. He has called his sheep out, and they follow him because they know his voice. These sheep are so intimately familiar with their shepherd's voice because they have been with him their entire lives. He is the one who guides them into the green pastures and beside the fresh streams. He provides protection and safety when the wolves are circling around them, and shelter when there is a storm on the horizon. The sheep know their shepherd's voice because he has been their constant companion through all of life's trials and joys. What a beautiful picture that Christ gives us in this parable of his intimate relationship with his people, that union and communion that we have with Christ. Christ knows his sheep, so the sheep must also know him. True Christians must hear and respond to the voice of Christ our Lord. We must not be, cannot be led astray by the schemes of false shepherds. We must intimately know the voice of our good shepherd. And how do you do this? How do we do this? How do we know the voice of the shepherd? Study his word. Submit yourself to ordained elders who take seriously their responsibility to shepherd the sheep of Christ as under shepherds, under the good shepherd. So, Christian, to know Christ's voice better, sit under the preaching of God's word. Study scripture on your own, with your family, with friends and neighbors. Dedicate time each day to the personal study of scripture. Maybe wake up early and read your Bible in the stillness of the morning. Or you should make family worship a priority, especially during this time of social distancing and potential quarantine. Take advantage of the seemingly endless resources online that seek to faithfully teach God's word. There are ministries like Ligonier Ministries that has just made teaching series available to stream for free online for a limited time. Take advantage of that. Study God's word. Dive down deep into it. Christian, how can you know whose voice to follow if you don't know the sound of your own shepherd's voice? So many Christians are so easily led astray by thieves and robbers and strangers who have come into the sheep pen in illegitimate ways. But why is that? Well, they're led astray because they aren't familiar with the sound of their shepherd's voice. They're too focused on social media or on staying up with the latest trends, the latest TV shows and movies. They're too busy working themselves to death for a promotion. They're too focused on their own happiness, their own success, their own interests. They do not know what the Bible says. And so they believe preachers when they say that God wants all Christians to be happy, healthy, and rich. Or that Christians should be trying to live their best life now. Or that they will be healed of their afflictions by sending that preacher their money. Or even that the Christian no longer has to obey God's law. Christians go along with these things. Real Christians, immature Christians, but real, genuine Christians go along with these things because they think it's something their shepherd might say. Or he possibly could say. Maybe he did say. But they don't know what he actually does say, because they failed to study his word. They have failed to sit under faithful biblical preaching. They have failed to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength by hearing his voice and by following after him. Christian, let that not be true of you. Study God's word. Know the voice of your shepherd. Dear Christian, member of Christ Church, if you are confused about something that someone you've heard has said, or are concerned about a teaching that you have heard, please ask Pastor John or me or one of your elders about that teaching and whether or not it's legitimate. We are here to minister to you as under shepherds, and our authority to do so comes only from Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. We, as your elders, have to keep a close watch on our lives and doctrine, because we will one day give an account for the way in which we led Christ's precious sheep. We want you to be well fed, and we're committed to faithfully preaching God's word each and every Lord's Day, quarantine or not, and to teach we're committed to teaching it throughout the week in whatever capacity that might be. We are here to help you hear the voice of that good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And notice as well that our knowledge of Christ, knowing his voice, leads to obedience to his word. The sheep don't simply hear the voice of the shepherd. They respond to it as well. They follow their shepherd out of the pen. They listen to his words and they obey his voice. Here we see that obedience is key. Without it, the sheep don't get to where they have to go. Covenant children, if your mom tells you to clean your room, what does she want you to do? She wants you to get up and go clean your room. If you said, okay, mom, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I probably should clean my room. But you keep doing what you were doing. You keep playing that video game, or you keep working on whatever you're doing, reading your book. You're not actually listening to your mom. You heard her words, but without obedience, you're not actually listening. You know that when your mom tells you to do something, you have to do it right away. Obedience is necessary. And that's the way it is with Christ as well. We can't just hear what he has to say and carry on as if everything was the same. The gospel of Jesus Christ is life-changing. When you come to Christ, you are brought from spiritual death into spiritual life. True Christians must respond to the voice of their shepherd and must follow him in the way that he goes. Without obedience, we actually prove that we're not one of Christ's sheep, that we don't belong in the sheepfold. And so, Christ tells us that the sheep know the shepherd's voice because they know the shepherd. They will not listen to the voice of another, but will flee when they're called by someone they don't know. That's what we see in verse 5. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Remember earlier I said something about these Middle Eastern shepherds who have specific calls for their sheep. Well, someone decided to test the intelligence of the sheep, who are not very intelligent animals. They decided to test that by dressing up in the shepherd's clothes and doing their best imitation of the sheep's call. So this imposter put on the shepherd's clothes and called out to the sheep in the same way that the shepherd normally does. Well, the sheep knew their shepherd so well that even though the man was wearing his clothes, even though he looked like him, was doing the same calls, sounded similar, the sheep did not come, but instead ran away. When sheep hear the call of someone other than their shepherd, they flee. Just as Christ says is true of his sheep. Flee from those who would seek to lead you away from Christ. Like Joseph from Potiphar's wife, run away. The sheep know their shepherd. But, John tells us in verse 6, the Jewish leaders Jesus is teaching to do not know what he is saying to them. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They have failed to see what was right in front of them, right in front of them in chapter 9, and proven themselves to be spiritually blind to the things of God. And now they show that they are spiritually deaf to them as well. They cannot hear Christ's voice because they do not know him. The scribes and Pharisees prove in their rejection of Christ that they do not worship the one true God, but instead worship dead idols that they have made. They're those of whom we read in Psalm 115, starting in verse 2. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. These Pharisees are blind, deaf, mute, just like their idols. Psalm 100 tells us that we are the Lord's sheep. And without a shepherd, we are lost and confused. Just imagine, picture yourself in the position of one of those sheep in this sheepfold, seeing strangers, robbers and thieves, who are trying to lead you astray. Hearing the things that they're saying, unsure of what to believe and what to do. How clarifying, how comforting and emboldening it would be to hear the voice of your shepherd calling your name, reminding you of his great and precious promises, telling you that you are known, you are loved, and you are cared for. We are all like sheep who have been led astray. We have turned to our own way, as Isaiah says. And Christ calls to you through the fog of confusion, through the lies of false shepherds, the distractions of social media and television. He is calling you to remember who you belong to. And he is calling you to cling to Christ alone for your joy, your satisfaction, and for your salvation. And this is what happens each and every Lord's Day. As God's word is preached, Christ is speaking to our hearts, burning away the chaff of sin and rebellion against him, reminding us of his love for us as the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. This is why we must not neglect the worship of our God. Even in these trying times, we must still seek the Lord where he is to be found, in his holy word, in which he reveals the only way to salvation, which is faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone, to the glory of God alone. Christ is our good shepherd. He goes before us, leading his sheep into paths of righteousness. He takes us to the beautiful, rolling, green hills, the heavenly riches that we have in Christ. And there we feast on his word. And we are nourished by the sacraments of baptism in the Lord's Supper. But he also, as we read earlier in Psalm 23, leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And there, Christ has literally gone before us. Christ took upon his own shoulders the punishment your sin and my sin deserved. He laid down his life for the sheep, as he says in verse 15, John chapter 10. Christ was bruised, beaten, tortured, nailed to a cross. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head. He was spit on and mocked. He went straight into that valley, the shadow of death. And there he bore the wrath of God, dying for us and for our salvation, defeating death and sin and hell once and for all. Do you know this Christ? Is he your shepherd? Are you counted among his sheep? If not, I urge you, I implore you, believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. You will be saved. Dear Christian, Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, is calling you by name to follow him into the green pastures of his word. Do you know what your shepherd's voice sounds like? Have you dedicated your time and energy to determining and discerning its pitch and its timbre? Can you tell when strangers are trying to lead you away by imitating his call? Will you listen to Christ's voice and obey it? The one shepherd of God's people is the mighty three in one, our triune God. Three persons eternally united in one being, one essence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the shepherd of the sheep, our Father, who holds his own in the palm of his hand. And his Son, the Good Shepherd, lays down his own life for the sheep. This is our mighty Good Shepherd. This is the one in whom we place our hope and our faith. Believe on him. Believe in him. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we Thank you for this precious time we've had together in your word. We pray that as we go our separate ways, as we go back to our daily lives, that we would remember our good shepherd, that we would hear him, we would seek him out, that we would listen to his voice, that we would hear him calling us by name, telling us that we are the beloved of the Father. Oh Lord God, we praise you for your mighty deeds and for the works that you have done amongst us. We thank you for that gospel of Jesus Christ, through which we have salvation. We thank you for Christ Jesus, our Savior. May we behold him. May we listen to his voice. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.